Veterans report to camp today. Dan Quinn and Adam Peters will speak, we think, right around 10:30. We will carry it live right here on the Team 980. Good morning. Chris is in for Denton, who's out this week on a cruise with his fiance. What are your top three storylines heading into training camp? That's a first day of training camp topic. I've got mine written down. I think number one is obvious. I think the next two to three are debatable, but start thinking about that. We will take calls on it. Redskins. See, I wanted to say it. It just sometimes rolls off my tongue. The Washington Commanders training camp starts today in earnest. And we will have, believe it or not, a game in 17 days. We will have Jaden Daniels making his debut. I would expect him to make his on-field debut in a preseason game against the Jets in the Meadowlands on August 10th. A game, as I've mentioned before, that is going to kick off at 12 noon. On August 10th. I don't know how that makes sense, but they must have had another event in the Meadowlands that night. We will talk a lot of football on the show. You'll hear from Logan Paulson on the show today about some of the things that he's thinking about on both sides of the ball, the offensive side of the ball and on defense. This from Robert to start the show. Sort of Redskins related, sorry. I liked your interview with Mark Ein. Just not sure what I learned about the team name, despite you calling him out for their ability to multitask. He said it was a big lift. So was getting rid of the name. Deal with it. The name is a big lift because it's gone and shouldn't have ever been taken away. Make it right for those of us that are happy Snyder is gone, but not as happy as we should be. Thank you, Robert, for that, because that last line really hit me, man, because I think he summed it up in a one sentence in terms of how so many fans feel. And yes, they're probably weighted heavily age 40 or maybe even 45 and older. But when he writes, make it right for those of us that are happy Snyder is gone, but not as happy as we should be. You know, for years, we were losing some of that passion. But still, when the season started, that was our team that rolled out onto the field. And you rooted for some sort of miracle, you know, something to overcome the horrible ownership of Dan Snyder. But once, and so you rooted for him to lose the team, sell the team. It seemed like a total pipe dream for all of those years. And then when the name was lost in 2020, it was bad, but when the new name was introduced in 2022 and the new team took the field as the Commanders, it did feel very much, as I've said since that day, like an expansion team landed in town and the team that we rooted for forever was gone. And even though Dan was on the verge of leaving, which was a euphoric moment, a thrilling moment, it was. But there was a part of a lot of fans that couldn't get as excited as they wanted to because he wasn't leaving the team that he oversaw for 24 years. He was leaving this new entity, which there was not yet an emotional attachment to. And I'm not sure there ever will be. Who knows? That is still to come. As I discussed all of those years leading up 2020, when people would say, come on, man, don't you understand business? You get rid of this name and you put a new name out there, it'll be a massive financial boon to the franchise. And I said, no, it won't be. And it won't be because longstanding brands that have passionate, emotionally attached customer bases don't want significant changes to the brand because they become less emotionally attached. And the only way to fix that is to give them an actual much better product, but right away. You can't let time pass. It's got to happen right away. Coke couldn't do that in 1985. They gave everybody a worse product. They had an opportunity there to give them a better product. They didn't. If the team in 2022 had won the Super Bowl or had contended for the Super Bowl, then they would have had a better chance. But the team hasn't been good since they changed their name, since the loss of the name. And look, Robert, for what you said about, you know, Mark telling me that it was a big lift and you saying, deal with it. I'm with you on that, but let me just explain. I understand what he means when he says it's a big lift. The biggest part of the big lift when it comes to the name for the team, by the way, the admission that it's a big lift is also an admission that they thought a lot about this. I mean, there are actually people out there that don't think that they've given any thought to this, that when they say it's not a priority right now, that somehow they haven't discussed it. Of course, they understand this is a big issue. And of course, this has been a big topic. Publicly, they're going to stick with it's not a big priority right now for the reasons that I've discussed in the past, primarily the stadium right now. But when they talk about, when he said it's a big lift, the big lift is that there is a lot that goes into changing a name and changing a brand and changing everything associated with the new name and the new brand. But really, the heavy part of that lift is what's the solution? There's no obvious solution that would thrill the masses. Any solution would be polarizing. And I forget if this was something that we talked about during our interview or maybe after the interview or before the interview. I think one of the things I've expressed to the people that I've talked to out there is the cost of not doing anything a greater risk than doing something and not pleasing everybody? I think it is. I think the cost of not doing anything, while not fatal, because how could you possibly predict that? You know, this team, if it does end up being a well-run team, which it looks like you've got good people, you've got smarter people, better people and smarter people than have been in the organization in a long time. And that's by a long shot. But it doesn't guarantee wins. It doesn't guarantee contending every year. What would happen if they started to win? We'll see. I understand the big lift part of it, though. I do. I understand why they're not talking about it now. But I will also say to you, Robert, and others like you, if they get the stadium path cleared for, let's say, a return to D.C., or it doesn't work out in D.C., and they do their next deal on the land that they currently own in Landover, and they decide to do a deal with the state of Maryland to stay in Maryland, once that's cleared, I don't want to hear from anybody out there that it's not something that is near the top of our priority list right now. I'm okay hearing that right now because I understand strategically that they don't want to mess anything up. They don't want to create additional obstacles for perhaps a return to DC, which I think is the preference of everybody in ownership. You know, they don't want to upset a politician that would see the admission that we're going to do something about the name as the possibility of going back to something that may not be appropriate for them. They're not going to mess that up. There's no reason to do that. But once they have the break ground date on the new stadium, if we get the same answers, which I don't think we will. I'm not suggesting we're going to get those same answers. I hope we're not going to get Dean Smith, you know, four-cornered out of this thing, and they're just going to kind of hope to wait it out until they win, and then they'll see what happens to revenue once they win and to the fan base once they win, if they do win. But benefit of the doubt, Kev, at that point will become definitely an on-the-attack, Kevin. Because that would be inappropriate at that point, given that the owner in his introductory press conference a year ago said, we will listen to our fans when it comes to this issue. Well, if they're listening to their fans, they're going to do something about it. They're certainly going to address it. But I understand, again, now, why they're not. But once that stadium thing is done, I don't know when it'll be done. You know, it might not be until that September window before they shut down for the run-up to the election. It might be during that lame duck session after November, the November election, between the second Tuesday in November and the end of the year. If they don't get it done then, they've got to wait for a whole new Congress to, you know, reconvene, you know, mid to late January, whatever the date of that is. And so now we could be many, many months away from a stadium deal in D.C. being cleared via the RFK site bill in the Senate, and then a negotiation that would have to take place between the city and the team. Just because they passed the RFK site bill doesn't mean that it's over. Then the city has the land and can actually negotiate a deal. I'm not telling you that some negotiations and some discussions with respect to if they get the land have it taken place already, but you have to wait for the RFK site plan to pass or to be attached to another bill that passes. At that point, it is then 100% appropriate and actually borderline required to address the name issue with the fan base from ownership. And I think they know that. I'm not sitting here bringing that up, Robert, or anybody else that feels like you might be getting, waited out on this thing, that they're not going to address it. You can't say over and over again, it's just not right now an immediate priority. You can't say that forever. You can say that now while you're still working on the stadium. Everybody understands the football part of the operation's working on winning. That's the number one priority. Okay, we can all agree the number one priority is winning. They've done a really good job of completely restructuring and doing a massive makeover of their football operation. Those people aren't going to be involved in the brand conversation, the name conversation. They can focus on the number one priority, which is winning. The owner and the others that are involved in the business of the football team can focus on that once the stadium deal's done. It would be highly disappointing if the answer after a stadium deal is done is, yes, it's just not an immediate priority. At that point, you know you're getting stalled. But I don't think that'll be the answer. I think once we get the stadium thing figured out, they will certainly address it. How they'll address it, I don't know. Maybe the addressing of it publicly is, we've been looking into this since the moment we purchased the team. And here are the challenges, and here's why we're going to stick with what we have. Or here's why we're going to enter into a period of working with a branding company, working with marketers, putting this to a fan vote, however they decide to do it. This from Jen. Jen listened to the Mark Ein interview as well. She said, my husband and I have been listening for years. Love you and Cooley together. Really hope he does his film analysis this season. And yes, I do too. I'm working on that. Mark Ein's honesty about the timing around a new stadium was depressing. I can't believe we have 7 or more years left at FedEx. 7 to 9 years, excuse me, left at FedEx Field. I'm starting to think Tom, as in Lavero, is right. The new building is going to be in Landover. Tom's been saying that for years, that it's just, he always said, it'll never happen in Virginia. They're impossible to work with. It'll fall apart in Virginia. He said that from the jump, and he's been saying that the D.C. thing is too tight of a fit, and he doesn't think it'll happen. He's always predicted they're going to end up building the new stadium right next to the current one. We'll see. Yes, Mark Ein, Jen, was, very honest. Now, he did, backtrack a bit and say, look, there is, hope that we could get something opened by 2030. But he did say initially 7 to 9 years, which would be 2031, 2032, or 2033. That's why they're investing so much into the current stadium, because they're going to be there for a while. You know, I was thinking about this too. Based on the conversation that I had with Mark, I thought about it afterwards. And also, you know, the departure of Jason Wright as team president, but him sticking around until the end of the year, perhaps, to deal with the naming rights of the stadium. You know, I think it'll be a reflection of what the big, you know, advertising sponsorship community thinks about this overall franchise right now and its fan base on what kind of deal they get for a naming rights, stadium naming rights situation. You know, I think there was hope that they could get something done by the beginning of the season. It's only July 23rd. Their first home game isn't until September 15th. So that opportunity exists. Now, they do have one home preseason game. But I think it'll be interesting to see how that proceeds over the next few weeks. Do they get a stadium naming rights done? And what is that, you know, what does that deal look like in terms of, you know, the kind of revenue that was generated for the deal compared to some of the more recent stadium naming rights deals? And are they able to get a deal done? Because if you're, you know, a big, you know, potential naming rights partner, you're looking at maybe the most attractive the franchise has been in a long time with respect to the product on the field. Yeah. And then this from Jerry. Kevin, did you pay Mark Guine to say what he said about Peters wanting Quinn from the beginning? I just don't believe any of them, you included. Ben Johnson was the hot candidate, just like Adam Peters was. That's who they wanted. I can't help you, Jerry. I can't help any of the people anymore that actually think Dan Quinn was like the fourth or fifth choice. It's just not true. You can continue to believe that all you want. And there are people in the national media and maybe even some in the local media who just don't want to be wrong. But Quinn, as I mentioned, very early on in the process, I had sources who told me that Dan Quinn's interview blew them away and that he was at or near the top of the list. This was long before the ill-fated trip to Detroit to interview Ben Johnson, which ended up getting canceled. Yes, Ben Johnson was the hot candidate there for a while. But really, ultimately, I think they dodged a bullet, don't you, Jerry? I mean, Ben Johnson clearly does not want to be a head coach right now. Did you want a guy that just kind of squirmed his way into a head coaching job, like took the money because he felt like he had no choice but really didn't want to do it? No. I totally believe Mark Guine because I've been told that for 9 months, 8 months, or whatever it's been, 7 months, about how much they loved Quinn from the beginning. I don't think it was just Adam Peters. He emphasized that Quinn was Peters' guy right from the jump. I think Josh Harris was enamored with Dan Quinn as well. Look, one of the things they were focused on once they purchased the team, they couldn't do anything about it a year ago because we were too close to the start of training camp and then ultimately the season, but they wanted to change the culture. They wanted to change the culture of the entire organization, business side of the building, and the football side of the building. And Mark mentioned that word culture multiple times in my conversation with him. All right. What are the top storylines heading into training camp? We'll get to that. We've got a press conference, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, scheduled to talk to the local media, probably some national media as well, as veterans are reporting to camp today. We will carry that live. And there was news this morning from the Washington Post, Mark Maskey, about the eventual, I think, move to 18 games in the regular season. Lots to get to on this Tuesday, but stay tuned. Dan Quinn, Adam Peters coming up. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. All right. So first of all, a reminder, coming up in about 5 minutes, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters will hold a press conference live from Ashburn. It is Veterans Report to Camp. It is the first day of real training camp. The rookies reported on the 18th, but really this is the beginning of training camp. The first training camp practice is tomorrow. And then the first preseason game is 18 days away. There you go. Raise hail. Is that the hashtag that everybody's using? I just got a couple of those during the break. Thank you. My what do you got is that the top 100 list of the NFL.com's, you know, summer-long series of the top 100 players entering the upcoming season is out. The first 10 players, 100 through 91, are out, and Terry McLaurin is on the list. Now, he was on the list last year. I'm actually looking to see what number he was last year. I don't know why I didn't look to see this earlier. My fault. But I think he was much higher on the top 100 players of 23. I'm pretty sure he was. But Terry comes in, just so you know, at number 97. And what's written here, and this is, remember, the list that the NFL Network puts together. NFL.com, you know, runs it on a daily basis. You know, every 10 players, I don't know if it's every day or every week, I forget. But this is the list voted on by the players themselves. All right, this is not a media list. This isn't a fan list. This is a list of the top 100 players entering 2024 voted on by the players. Terry McLaurin comes in at 97. What's written here is McLaurin has played with 10 different starting quarterbacks since entering the league in 2019. There can't possibly be a receiver that's played with more since 2019. They didn't write that. I added that parenthetically. But he still finds ways to produce. Case in point, McLaurin can become the first player to post 5 straight seasons of 1,000-plus receiving yards, with each coming with a different primary starting quarterback. Heading into training camp, McLaurin's connection with rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels is ranked as the 5th-best rookie-to-veteran duo. We'll see. Hopefully. Top 100 NFL of 2023. He was higher on the list. I'm pretty sure he was much higher on that list. Here's the list. What was he? Terry McLaurin. Jonathan Allen was 52 on the list. And Terry McLaurin was, I'm down the list a long way here. He was 94 last year. Okay, so he was just slightly higher. I thought he was much higher on the list last year. 97. We can talk about Terry until the cows come home. I think we all understand he's a very good receiver. And what would he be with a real quarterback instead of what we've had here during his career? Better. Certainly the results would be better. How much better? Would it be Ja'Marr Chase, Tariq Hill, or Justin Jefferson better? I don't think so, but they would clearly be better, and he'd have even more kudos from people around the league. All right, the press conference is starting. Let's go out to Ashburn. Dan Quinn, Adam Peters live.
What this 2024 Commanders team will be about. So having fun and working really hard, those two things should be synonymous. And so being here alongside with AP, hell yeah, let's get it rolling. So with that, I'll turn it over to AP, and then we'll open it up to questions for you guys.
Yeah, not much to add. You hit it on the head there, DQ, but just really want to thank really this community, our fans. They've embraced us really, really well. They've embraced our families. We couldn't feel more welcome. And we really couldn't be more excited. We're pumped about this group, about this year, and fired up to get started. It came fast, and I can't wait to get out there on the grass tomorrow. So, right, with that, go ahead and Fire away.
All right, John Kime, ESPN, for Dan. What is the plan for Jaden as far as working with, you know, how you talk about competition? What's that going to look like? Is he going to rotate? Is he going to work with the ones? How's that going
to
look?
Yeah, and I that's a good question, John, because it's probably leading to Jaden starting and when is that happening. So this is a great time to discuss it. And I want you to know it's not a secret, but it is a journey and a process. And so as we're going, when he's ready, we'll know. And when he's ready, he'll also know. But as far as the reps go, obviously with him and Marcus and moving around, there'll be certain days that will feature more of another. But I guess I'm glad that you brought it up, and certainly not a secret. It's a journey and a process. And so through practices, through scrimmages and preseason games all the way down, that's where the journey will take us. And then I'm not trying to hold back the info, but when we know, we'll say it.
And then for both of you, you guys have been around in the game a while. And so you worked with Russell when he was younger, at least there. You've been with young quarterbacks. What have you learned from those situations that you can apply to help Jaden's development?
So I think it's one size doesn't fit all. And you want to make sure for not just at quarterback, but at any position. And development doesn't just continue to go straight up. There's some days it goes good, days not, and you keep pushing to go. So I think the biggest process, why I like training camp, sometimes I work from what I'm hoping to see, and then we start working back from there. So going through the offense, having an offseason do that, that helps a lot. But more importantly, the connection, the chemistry with the players, and really identifying the things that they do best, and then trying to build around that.
I think you nailed it there, but my experience with young quarterbacks too. Like DQ said, it's not one size fits all, and I think everybody can see when that's happening, when they're ready. That the team knows, the coaches know. So you don't want to fast track it. You don't want to slow it down. You just want to let it happen naturally. And I know these guys are going to be great in doing that. So.
Ben Standing with The Athletic. For both of you, this is the time of year where people ask predictions. Well, how is this team going to finish? Things like that. I won't ask for records. But for you guys, what counts as a successful season this year?
I think number one, we want to start off and make sure, like, our identity and who we are and how we play, that has to come along strong, Ben. And that part, if you get that first and get that right, that's when a lot of the success will follow. But you can't, put the record before you have the identity and who you are. And so I'm hopeful that when you and our fans and family see us play, they see that identity coming to life, the speed, the physicality, the winning football in the most critical moments. Those are all the things that are going to make up our identity. And we've got to use this time to start establishing that in the very best of ways.
Yeah, we've both at our press conference when we first started, right? That was the thing we both said is you're going to see how we play, you're going to feel how we play, and that's the first thing. And how fast or slow that goes is so many different things that are variables and all that. But I can tell you that you're going to see a great effort team, a competitive team playing fast and physical, and yeah, we've seen that out there all spring, and excited to see it here in camp.
I think it probably goes back also to Adam and his staff, to what it was from the players that we were trying to bring in through free agency and the draft. And so that also is a part of the identity. And so knowing that it's meshing together through scouting, through coaching, through the players, that's, where the success will come.
And also the staff got filled out a bit more since we spoke to you last. Brandon Sosna, Dave Gardy came in there somewhere, among others. Just curious if you could just kind of lay out, Adam, what went to bringing in some of these people, and how do you kind of view the group right now?
Yeah, first of all, you mentioned two great additions, and there's a lot more than that. But Josh really tasked us with creating a great front office, a great football operation, and so he gave us the latitude to go out there and get the best out there. And so we were able to do that, and we're proud of the people that we brought in. It's been incredible since they've been in here, the additions they've made, and really taken off, DQ and my plate in terms of the things that they do so well. And we feel we're close to being, staffed to where we need to be in terms of when you look at around the league and you do comparisons and you see what the great teams in the league, what they look like, and we feel we're well on our way to that. So we're very, very, very happy.
First to Coach Chick Hernandez, WSA 9. You've been through this before. You learned a lot about yourself. You self-evaled. In this process now, part number two, where do you feel like you have shown a different strength as you prep your team?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Chick. And I think probably like a player where the game slows down. You know, when you get perspective and time to see how things do, coaching does as well. And you want to apply new things to how we do it. And you may see some changes. Early brought rookies in. You know, that's had something I hadn't done before, and I liked that process. I like, you know, getting them the jump start. You may see us working into red zone early on where I hadn't done that before. The old model, this is what you did in the spring, and this is what we did at training camp. Well, there's ways to adjust and to change on those things. And so those would be, you know, two examples of finding change and things that you think you can get better at and then applying them.
And Adam, first go around as the top dog, as a GM, what's the stress level for you? Where does your stress come from right now as we get ready for a season? Where do you find it?
I think it's constant, right? And you're always, you know, you're always thinking about ways to improve the team, what you can do better. But tying into your first question, I think with DQ, with his, you know, being his second go around, and how intentional and deliberate he was on learning from the things that he learned in Atlanta, has helped me immensely in terms of having someone who's been through it and helping me along the way. I can't thank him enough for that, and that part really impressed us all during the interview process, and it's come to life here. So you know, whatever stresses I have, I know I can go to him and he'll relieve them and as best he can. Some things he can't, but that's not your fault.
Back at you.
But I think having this partnership is I'm really thankful for, and we'll be prepared for whatever comes our way.
Dan, Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports. You talk a lot about physicality and speed. What kind of is your approach to training camp, and how do you kind of handle the balance of wanting to see those guys get ready for football season, but also, you know, not wanting to get injured? Do you want to see pops on days those guys are in pads?
Yeah, I think the analogy sometimes I use with the team is it's much like a boxer who's sparring, and you have to be in control and you have to take care of it, because you don't see if you got into a gym and watch somebody spar, it's not exactly the same as being in a fight. And practicing, you want to as competitive as we can, but we also know we're taking care of one another, and that's part of the brotherhood to go. So you want to push the competition as much as you can, but also, much like, you know, sparring and getting ready, that you're always in control. If somebody's out of control, they'll play out of control, and it may look like chaos, but the discipline that we'll play with will really be evident to you.
To your left, Steve Wino, Associated Press. We switched the mic on you. Adam, you turned over, like, I think, two-thirds of this roster. I'm wondering kind of how you feel about the kind of group you brought in, the 90 guys who are here and going into camp, how much change there has been.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, like DQ said earlier, we brought in a type of player we thought, you know, as much as we can, that are commanders. And I think you guys saw that a little bit out in the spring. And so we're thrilled about the 90 guys we have here. We're always, you know, DQ preaches competition every day, so we're always going to look at ways to improve the roster. But as it sits now, we feel great about the guys we have. And in my experience, just seeing what we did out in the spring, what you guys did out in the spring, the way we practiced, the way they gelled together really fast was really, really impressive. And it just speaks to the type of coaches we have and the type of players we have.
And Dan, as someone coming as a new coach, do you like the clean slate aspect of it, of having a group that there's not a whole lot of kind of holdovers?
I think when you're starting anything, there's a freshness and a newness that goes with that. I love, you know, each of the years, because not every year is exactly the same. So knowing that there's some new connections and new people here, those relationships to start them is good. But I'd be also remiss in year two and three, those get stronger and deeper and as you're going. But you only get one first shot with a whole new group, and we're not going to miss that shot.
Hey, Coach, David Aldridge with The Athletic. I'm wondering, in terms of working backwards, as you said,
yep,
do you expect certain position groups to be ahead of other position groups as you go through the season or as you start this process?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, David. I think, I don't know if it's a position group, but it certainly is the line of scrimmage. And, you know, the ways that it happens now, some of the padded work to go, that is different. You know, like, that's not running routes and playing 7-on-7, so both sides of the line of scrimmage, I think that not just for our team, but for all, that's where you really are trying to work those skills as you can, the combinations of blocking, the combinations and pass rush done. So lines of scrimmage, I would say, are the ones, I don't know if they're behind, but I think league-wide positions, that really gets the emphasis, and most teams are improving in that spot as the season's going.
And Coach, now that you've...
You're listening to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, press conference, first day of training camp, live from Ashburn here on the Team 980.
Put your stamp on this organization.
Yeah, and I think at the front of it is teaching and developing players. And so all the way back from when Adam and I got together, the importance of that, knowing that, you know, it's not just year one to year two. How does the fifth-year player get better, the sixth-year player? So finding those things, detailing it out, how to improve for players and coaches, that's what I'm expecting to see from the guys.
J.P. Finley with NBC4 and 106.7 The Fan. A lot of crazy stuff happens during the NFL break, social media, all kinds of weird stuff. You guys actually had another player post practice footage. What was the reaction in the building? How do you handle that?
I think first and foremost, he didn't have practice footage, so
still maybe.
Yeah, still, yeah. So, but we handled that internally, and we're unconcerned with that. Yeah.
And then just for you, then Adam, going forward, how do you balance the big long term goals here with the immediacy of the coming season?
Yeah, that's maybe great. Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something you're always trying to do constantly, you know, seeing the big picture, but also, you know, we're here to win games, and we're here, you know, this is a not-for-long league, right? And so, you know, we have a great staff that's always looking ahead 2-3 years, you know, led by Brandon, you know, in terms of salary cap and all those types of things, but we're really focused, myself and Lance are really focused on how we can help our team win right now. So we're always ready to help win right now while having – all of us really keep one eye on the future and make sure we're able to sustain success for a long time.
Sam Fortier with the Washington Post for either of you. Why is it important to not name Jaden the starter now? Is it keeping him motivated? Is it managing expectations? Why is that?
I can certainly hit that one. Certainly not motivated. This is a extremely motivated player. At every position, this is the case. And we've got great confidence, all of that. But like I said earlier, it's not one size that fits all. So as we're going through this whole process, let's make sure if we are going to be about the competition and how things are going to go, we're not going to miss one step of their development. And that's what this time of year is for. So we want to make sure we're able to use all of that time.
And Adam, as you were building the roster, I'm curious, what made you confident, hey, if with our offensive line, with Cornelius Lucas, if he were the starting left tackle, what made you confident that he could hold down that role?
Yeah, just watching the tape and understanding what type of player he is, what type of person he is, talking with the previous staff and people that have been with him. So we felt, you know, confident in him as a person. And then watching the tape, you know, I think, you know, as a pass protector, Cornelius is really, really good. And so we got really good coaches that can help him with our skills and develop, like Coach said, in terms of whether it's year one, year two, or, you know, as you're a veteran, you can still get better. And so he did really well out here in the spring, and so we feel confident that he can still continue to do that.
I'm Nikki Jepala with Washington Post. Are there positional groups going in that you feel are more open in terms of just opportunities for jobs to be had?
Yeah, I think that's fair, Nikki. There are certain spots that have more, although there's competition at a lot of spots. You know, certainly like defensive tackle is not as competitive in terms of how we would feature some of the players. But yeah, I think, you know, as we're going through it, it'll kind of play its way out. But how does the chemistry work? And then also, Nikki, like, not just the competition at the position, but like what specific things make a player unique? And then how would we play that player? So say we had 18 players or so play on offense and defense, and what specific things does this tight end do versus this back? What about this DB versus this linebacker? So finding the roles and owning those are as important as the competing, because once we establish what those roles are, now we can plug and play in people into doing those things.
Yeah, I think DQ and his staff are as creative as anyone in this whole entire league, if not the best, in terms of being able to do that. So, you know, it's not just, you know, three linebackers, four defensive linemen, you know, whatever it is. finding the best 11 for each package, and DQ is a master at that. It's, you know, we talk about superpowers. That's one of his superpowers, and Joe Witt's great at that too. And offensively, the Cliff's shown that. He did that in Arizona too. So, you know, we're really excited to see how that really evolves during camp.
And you guys placed Johnny Newton on NFI. I mean, what are just your expectations for him as he kind of progresses through his recovery?
Yeah, so with Johnny, first of all, first and foremost, Johnny's been outstanding in his rehab, and we've had to hold him back. Nice catch. Yeah. We really had to hold him back. Like, he's a monster, and he wants to go, and we got to make sure to reel him back. That's the type of guy he is. And so we've been really pleased with his progress. We put him on NFI. I think we're just going to exercise caution. We're not playing any games anytime soon, but we expect it to be sooner rather than later that we release the reins, and we're going to keep an eye on him, you know, throughout. Like I said, it's July, so we're going to keep an eye on him, but let him develop during training camp as well. He needs to get the reps just like everybody else, and so we're excited where he's at.
Scott Abraham, ABC7. For some guys, they dread training camp. You know, in a sense, it's a grind. It's a long process. Some are excited. For you guys, both of you answer, please. What is this like for you, the start of training camp, something new? Kind of explain those emotions of going into a new camp.
Yeah, training camp's a cool thing, and it's definitely different than it used to be. As I look back to, like, my first training camp in 2001, you know, with some 2 days and that type of thing, it was a different process. But as you go now, it's evolved and it's different, but it's also, like, really fun. There's a challenge that goes along with it during that time, but it's also, like, there's a lot of joy with it because you're spending so much time together. You're, like, the team chemistry is building. There's a lot that goes into this. So it's an important part of the process for us. One of the things that I've been pleased about here is Adam and I are fired up to get rocking, as you would think. But what's even more cool is seeing the players, how excited they are. You know, over the last few days, you'd see somebody in the building and their excitement to go. It's not a spot where you may have come in dreading training camp. Oh no, here we go. It's my experience today of seeing the guys come in has been just the opposite. So to see that kind of energy coming into a camp really fires both of us up.
Yeah, I agree. The guys have come back early because they're chomping at the bit to be here, and so that's really cool. You don't see that too often, and like DQ said, it's not like Junction Boys anymore where you're soft and you get water. I mean, there's water everywhere now, and so it's not the same. But the part where you get to be all together for so long during the day, you still have that, and building the team, and I couldn't be more excited. This is the most excited I've ever been for a training camp, so I'm pumped and fired up to be on a ride with all these guys and this guy especially.
Dan, you talked about the identity, developing an identity with this football team. As you go through this process week after week here at camp, what exactly are you looking for to know this identity is coming together? What do you have to see?
Yeah, I think you have to see, while playing really fast, excellent execution. And so those are the standards that you're looking for, the details of the play, the execution of the play, and then at a max speed. And so you don't get to pick and choose when that is. You just have to go, and then the next play, and the next play. And so having that standard, that's what I'm looking for. That's part of identity. You'll feel the speed when we play. Those will come out to life at practice over and over and over, the execution and the speed again and again and again. That's when it starts to come to life, because now it's not as much thinking, but just the reaction and the movements that have to be explosive and fast.
George Wallace, WTOP for Coach. What's the one thing you're looking for tomorrow when you guys hit the field after the break, and your message to the team before you left? What's the one thing that you're going to see tomorrow on the field to know that these guys kind of stuck with it during that time off? Because I'm sure it's kind of tough. They get away a little bit and they get a month off before coming back.
Yeah, George, that's a good question. The number one, we want to make sure, like any good team, you'll hear them, you know, before you see it. So the communication, that's always something at the start of a training camp that you want to push, because they may have not been communicating together. Not, you know, all 90 of us were together. So if you're hearing the communication early, that's a good sign that, you know, that you're going to be able to play fast. So hearing the guys, because in this ramp up, and you'll see that, not, you know, we're building up on time onto the field, so there won't be a lot of plays. We'll progress into that, but let's hear it before the plays even begin.
Hi, Coach. Donna Hopkins, Pro Football Plus. In the OTAs, you talked about the process as far as the crawling, walking, and the running. In the running stage right now, are you seeing most of this team overall in that phase as they start training camp?
Yes, and it can even apply into a specific day. So, for instance, in an afternoon, like tomorrow afternoon, we'll install a new set of plays and some new situations. That'll be the crawling part of things. We'll go out tomorrow night for a team walkthrough and execute a lot of those. That's more of the walk part of it. And then the next day is the run. So I almost think of it in a day's block of teaching, jogging through to get the timing, the targets of what you want, and then can you go execute at a really high speed. And so we're going to have extremely high standards for the guys in the run part, as you were referring to, and me too. That's the spot. That's the execution. That's the connection that has to take place. And so that's what I'll look to see at the practice. And it'll take reps to go it over and over again. But it's not the first time, hearing, the systems as we're starting into these meetings again.
When you look at this team as a whole, are they where you thought they were going to be, or are they ahead in some areas?
That's a good point. I would say they would be ahead in some areas. Their connection has been faster and stronger than I thought. So that part came really to life because so many people were part of the off-season program. And so you saw that connection take place, and I felt a good level, and then I felt a shift take place, right around the end of the OTAs and into the mini camp, where another one to go. And I'm expecting another one into training camp. So the communication and the connection amongst the players, that's the spot that I was pleased with to see where we're at. But like most things, once you are pleased with where you're at, that is where you will stay. So that is not from Yoda, by the way. But that, to me, is now it goes further. And adding people that we have, like Dylan, into our program adds connection, adds that. And so the stronger we get in playing for one another, the better the performances even become.
Good morning, gentlemen. David Harrison, Sports Illustrated. Coach, we talk a lot out here about perceived weaknesses or holes on the roster. Where are you most confident in your roster right now?
Yeah, a lot of spots, honestly. And what may be perceived as a weakness externally might actually be something stronger internally. And so more than anything, I'm looking for processes. How does this connection take place? How does the routes develop? Because once we get to what people can do, then we don't have to, well, you can't do that or you can't do that. We try to feature the things that guys do best. And so what would have seemed like a weakness, that's our job as coaches to say, we're either not going to put that specific player into that spot, or how are we going to help that person into that spot? So you want to have contingency plans as coaches. You don't want to swing at shadows. So you're always thinking ahead. Okay, what if he's out? What are you going to do? All right, what if this player changed out? What would that look like? And so making sure you have those processes right and challenging the staff. Okay, he's out. What are you going to do? This package is in. What does that look like? So finding what they can do versus the weakness. We know what they are, and we're going to try to address those to say, when we're playing a game, to say, how are we going to go win this specific game? These are the matchups that we're going to do.
Thanks, Coach. And then
three more questions.
Adam, as far as continuously looking to have opportunities to build the roster and improve the roster, how does that evaluation process look at this stage of the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's every day. It's throughout the summer when we're away. We're always constantly talking about that, constantly talking to other teams, other GMs, whether it's a trade or whether it's internally with our, our short list and our emergency list. So figuring out, all right, where, if this happens, where do we go? And so we have all those processes in place, and this is a league where injuries do happen, and hopefully, knock on wood, we don't have too many. But we'll be ready when they do, and our team, led by Lance and David Blackburn, are all set and ready to go. So, yeah, it's something you're always doing. You're always monitoring. You're always challenging yourself to say, okay, have we explored every opportunity? And that's what we pride ourselves on doing.
Candy Waller, Bowie TV. This one is for you, Coach Quinn. Reflecting on OTAs, was there anything that you said, that didn't work out so well, maybe we won't do too much more of that, or something that went really well and said we got to do more of that?
All right, Candy, good. That is a good question. You're really making me think. I like it, Candy. Give me a second. Things that I definitely liked going through the spring, we took time before we got to football with the, you know, not just the free agents that came or the veterans that were here, to get to know the man before the ball player. And I think that was an important process. So much as a coach, you just want to get right into the football. And finding out somebody's why, you know, more of their background, what do they stand for, why were some of the things important, I would say that's a good lesson, you know, in building something. From a leadership standpoint, early on, I think in my life, I thought leading, how is it me leading others? And what I found out through processes is real leading takes place when you can identify and develop the leaders within themselves. And so I'm pleased with what we're seeing in that spot. I'm hopeful at the end of camp, you ask me, hey, Dan, who are the leaders, and your hand cramps because I'm listing so many players. Things that I wish I could do differently as you're going to go, probably those are more like practice oriented. Could I have added more or less into it? I think one of the real fun things for everybody to watch is the addition of some special teams plays this year. And I know it's been a story of the off season, but I was pleased with the amount of work that we put in, but time will tell if it was enough work, Candy. So those are the things that I stress myself out and can't sleep at night. So thanks for bringing it back up. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that leads to my next question. My next question is about special teams. We saw some variety in the kick return, punt return role during OTAs. What are the characteristics you're looking for in that particular role?
Yeah, I think right now I see them a little bit differently because punt return is pretty traditional in the way of catch, initial quickness to make one miss. So if somebody was coming to, I have the ability to make one go, that type of change of direction and hands to go. Oftentimes they're fielding everything above them and they have to make one miss to get 6 to 7 yards. That's a good return, usually, if I can make one go. On the kickoff return, I think it's going to be a little bit different because it may involve more true running skills, running back skills. And so time will tell, but I do feel like the two positions are different because in a punt return, I may just make one miss, you know, who are the gunners usually outside, but literally anybody could be coming on the new way they kick off and kickoff return is going. So that part I do feel is going to be different, but they may even have to be more adept at fielding a kick that comes and hits the ground first, as opposed to forever we've just seen kickoffs come from the air and we catch, we want to be on the move. There may be a player that has to play infield as well as outfield and shortstop and center field, and so that kick returner this year better be adept at both.
For coach Liam Griffin with the Washington Times, you guys have a couple of joint practices already scheduled. Looking ahead a little bit, how can those joint practices help your team as you're looking to build that identity during this training camp period?
I'll hit one part and I'll kick it over to Adam for the second part. There's a lot. One, it's good for competition. It's usually, and you'd like it to be, some different systems than you currently do. So the offenses at the Jets and at Miami are different than the one is here. So that's good for extra reps, you know, for the offense or the defense. Same thing with the Jet defense and the Miami defense are played and installed differently. So different looks, different things to go. Those are helpful. And then there's an evaluation side that goes along with that, too, that I'll let Adam hit on. So it's twofold. One, new looks, new things. When you play against somebody over and over, you understand their releases, what some routes might be, and you can cheat a little bit. When you go in those other practices, you better be pure to what you're reading and how you're going to do it. And I'll let Adam refer to some of the evaluations. That's an important part of it, too, because not every player plays the same amount in the preseason games.
Yeah, you get, I think, with those practices from an evaluator, one, like DQ said, you get to see our guys against a different offense or defensive scheme. How do they adapt to that? How do they play against that? And you get to see them against different players, too. So sometimes you're going to be going against, you know, their defensive tackles may not be as strong as ours, and our offensive linemen look a little better, and you feel a little better about that. It's like they're not going against Payne and Allen every time. So, and then you get a chance to see the other team. You measure yourself against the other team. You see some guys at the back of their roster you may want to trade for. You may want to pick up as on the waivers. You know, we're number two on the waiver wire, so we can get a chance to do that. But really just getting a chance to compare where you're at, where they're at the same time, not overreacting either, because you can think, oh gosh, these guys are way better than us, but it could be that, you know, 10 minutes in time, that 2 hours in time where you underestimate your team or you overestimate your team and where you're at. So you don't want to get too high, too low and where you're at. It's really a little bit of a balance, but they're invaluable. You get a chance to see guys compete without, you know, with less of a chance of getting hurt, which is a big, big deal, and against a scheme that's different than yours. So it's really, really valuable.
Thanks,
everybody. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. That was the head coach, Dan Quinn, and the general manager, Adam Peters. AP in DQ for about a half an hour on the first day of veterans reporting to training camp. We'll follow up on a lot of things that were said over the last half hour when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.